This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Next week at this time, I will not be here. I will be on vacation. And as one counting the hours, let me recommend a wonderful thing to do on a holiday. Vacate. Empty your mind of all constructive thought, open a book with no pretense to redeeming social or literary value, and let your brain relax. After all, it's on vacation too. I certainly hope that Amazon is not so convulsed by the Harry Potter moment that they've neglected to send my brain candy onto me and time. This hour, we're going to expand on the summer reading list show to talk about the books we don't always admit we read. The escapist books, the trash, the guilty pleasures. And we issue those descriptions with the greatest respect. So if you devour Stephen King, Sue Grafton, or Helen Fielding, if you recognize Honor Harrington as the queen of the space operas and know all of Lawrence Block's and Douglas Riemann's pseudonyms, give us a call at 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. Later in the hour, an eighth grader will join us with a review of the hottest summer book of them all, Trash, naturally, and we'll check in with a young writer who's just published his sophomore novel. Joining us now to give us the scoop on the great escapes for this summer, as well as classic trash, is Charlotte Abbott. She's book news editor for Publishers Weekly, and she joined us from our bureau in New York, and welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thanks so much, Neil.
And Charlotte, I guess we have to begin by saying there is only one real item of book news this week. 5 million copies of Harry Potter sold over the weekend?
It's a tonic. It's a really exciting moment for the book industry. It's a rare weekend. I don't think it's ever happened before when the opening sales for a book have outdone the opening feature for Hollywood. There were 5 million copies sold. If you estimate that the prices range from $17 to $28, depending on where you bought it. That puts it way beyond the $64 million that The Hulk brought in this weekend.
It puts it up upwards of $200 million.
Mm.
That's a lot of books, and it looks like they're going to be in a sec. I mean, they printed like $8.5 million, and everybody thought that was a publicity stunt. They're going to have to start printing more now.
They are.
That's unbelievable. They are indeed. Anyway, beyond that one particular book, what are this year's new big escapist books?
Well, one of the books that springs immediately to mind is The Devil Wears Prada by Lauren Weisberger, which came out a little earlier. People may not have had a chance to get to it yet. The author was an assistant to Vogue editor Anna Wintour and got her revenge by writing this Romana Clay. It's the ultimate boss from hell story, and the fun part is trying to guess what's based on the truth and what's made up. For example, when the fashion editor modeled on Anna Wintour goes to Paris, the narrator isn't allowed to leave her desk in New York even to go to the bathroom. That's just in case her boss should call. So when the call finally comes in, it's the boss bellowing, "I'm standing in the pouring rain on the Rue de Rivoli, and my driver has vanished. Vanished! Find him immediately." So that's the kind of anecdote that keeps people turning the pages. And I have to say that everyone I know has said that they didn't think it was very good, but they read every word.
Every single word and stayed up all night to finish it, probably.
Absolutely.
Isn't that sort of the earmark of the page turner, the paperback guilty pleasure?
I think so. I think it's the kind of book that offers the maximum story and requires the minimum of critical thinking.
So there are those books that, you know, once you finish them, you close them with a great thump and you sit and ruminate about the meaning of life and all of that sort of stuff. And there's other books that you close and say, well, that was fun, and you turn on the TV set or roll over and go to sleep.
Exactly. I think another key point is it's the kind of book that you don't get any brownie points for reading. You close the book and think, well, that's one I might not talk about at the next cocktail party.
Our telephone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. And Alicia is our first caller. She joins us from Minneapolis.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air, Alicia.
Great. I want to recommend a publisher, actually, for those of us who enjoyed Bridget Jones, and I've actually purchased The Devil Wears Prada. It's called Red Dress, Inc. It's a relatively new publisher. It has a pretty small list right now, but they write great, fun books that, like you said, when you're finished with them, you don't have to think about them. You can just enjoy them while you're there.
So there are people, Charlotte, who are you know, not only defining these niches, they're designing publishing companies to attract them?
That's true. Red Dress Inc. is one of the more visible. It's actually a division of Harlequin. And there is also Downtown Press, which is probably, it's part of Pocketbooks, but it's best known for Sophie Kinsella's Shopaholic series. Typically, they have one book that's very successful, and so their eyes grow bigger, and more editors are hired, and the attempt is made to sort of replicate that success. And it's a tribute to those imprints that people are remembering their names.
Alicia, Harlequin, I guess, owns this company. They, of course, publish the romance novels, the bodice
right.
rippers. Are those among your favorites as well?
No, I can't stand them.
Can't stand them. Wouldn't be caught dead reading them.
No, I wouldn't.
So if these books were published under the Harlequin imprint, would that be a deterrent?
I probably never would have found them to begin with.
Huh.
They're stocked in a completely different section of the bookstore, or of most large chain bookstores, and they focus more on the idea of sort of the young urban woman who is most likely single and not enjoying it too much, but at the same time very involved with the career. So they, I think, appeal to a different demographic, maybe, than most Harlequin novels would.
Huh, that's interesting. Charlotte, would the publishing company have Harlequin come to this conclusion themselves?
I think so. I mean, I can go mostly on anecdotal information at this point, but it's pretty clear that there's a shift in taste between the generations, and I think women in their 20s and moving into their 30s have really opted for a sort of lighter, funnier, more irreverent kind of writing, and Bridget Jones was perhaps the beginning of that ushered in that phase. And it's the chiclet that really seems to be selling and is here to stay. And I think it's the new face of women's fiction.
Well, Alicia, thanks very much, and have a glorious summer.
Thank you. You too.
Bye bye. Let's go now to Gary, and Gary's with us from Fort Lauderdale.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
I would like to recommend a novelist. His latest novel just came out. It's called Fluke, or I Know Why the Winged Whale Sings. His name is Christopher Moore, and speaking of irreverent and light and funny, but with a sophisticated edge, this is the guy. His last novel, which was out, I think it did pretty well last year, was called Lamb, The Gospel According to Biff, Christ's Childhood Pal. And it was essentially the story of Christ's life that's missing, as told by his best friend Biff, in a very respectful and tasteful way, but I couldn't put it down. I couldn't stop laughing, and I've just started Fluke, and it's great.
And Amanda, this is another category of fiction that is taking off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm sorry, Charlotte, I misspoke.
Well, Christopher Moore has been around for at least, I would say, 6 years or so, and he's someone who... You know, it's hard to say how much his audience is growing. I do hear his name more frequently. He's someone that booksellers love. He's a real sort of core author in many stores. The booksellers hand sell him, and so it's interesting to hear that people are picking up more on him in a popular context.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gary, thanks very much.
Thanks, Neil,
and have a great summer.
Thanks, you too.
Bye bye. I wanted to read some emails that we got. Hello, even with transferring from books with redeeming qualities to summer trash, quote unquote, I can't escape my obsession with the Boston Red Sox and baseball, writes Dave in Phoenix. So I find myself knee deep in Screwball, a mystery about a rookie phenom that throws 111 miles an hour and a murderer following the Red Sox around the country trying to put an end to the curse of the Bambino. My copy is hardcover, so I've just removed the dust jacket so that one first glance, no one will know what I am reading. This is the variation on hiding the paperback inside the biology textbook mm-hmm. that we all did in school. Here's another one. This one from Greg Galt in Indianapolis. For my money, nothing beats an Elmore Leonard novel for summer reading. Leonard's gritty characters may make his readers wince, but as hideous as they are impossible to ignore. My personal recommendations: Out of Sight, Freaky Deaky, and Get Shorty. Doesn't he have a new one out?
He does, and the name is escaping me right now.
But they're all good.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind. I'll move on. And here's April Murray from St. Louis, Missouri, saying she reads every cozy murder mystery I can find. Carolyn G. Hart's Death on Demand series is also great. Also, Joan Hess's series on Maggotty AR are an absolute hoot. And I have to say that I don't know what those are.
No, they don't ring a bell for me either.
There are so many mystery series around.
There are. It's probably one of the most well-published categories. But it's also, because of that, very difficult to break authors out, which means get a level of visibility for them that will build them into a brand name. There are one of the books on my list has been out and sort of growing and a sleeper success. Actually, that process culminated when it was chosen for the Today Book Club, the mm-hmm. morning show. Which is Alexander McCall Smith's series, which begins with the number one ladies detective agency. Also in that sort of cozy vein, but they're set in Botswana. Have you heard about them?
I have not.
They're truly unique. The author is a man of a certain age. He's about a 50-year-old Scot. And he was actually raised in Botswana. And interestingly enough, the first book in the series, it features all of the characters are Black Africans. And the protagonist is a woman who sells her father's cows, which are a source of considerable wealth in Botswana, and begins her own detective agency. But she's really not looking into classic crimes. She's sort of straightening out. She's a sort of moral philosopher who straightens out people's lives, whether it's errant husbands or relatives who behave in ways they don't understand, or actually the plot sort of thickens with a witch doctor who she has to sort of ferret out what he's up to with the trafficking and stolen bones.
Well, in a way, it sounds like the same problems Philip Marlowe had to face in Bay City.
In a way, but they're so transporting. It's hard to, they really take you to another world, and it's hard to capture their charm just in a soundbite, but they're very much worth picking up.
And again, the name of the author?
Alexander McCall Smith.
Okay, let's
get... there are actually four books out at this point in the series.
And now, the reason I misspoke on your identification earlier, now joining us is Amanda in Miami, Florida.
Hi, Neil. I just wanted to say, I'm so embarrassed to say this, but I really love the Star Wars series, The New Jedi Order.
Uh-huh.
And as a matter of fact, I remember for the 2000 election, I saw one of the guys working at the booth with a Star Wars book, and I wanted to tell him it was a really good one, but I was really afraid and really embarrassed.
These are truly guilty pleasures in your case, then.
Oh, yeah, I'm a definite in-the-closet Star Wars fan.
The books are quite a different set of kettle of fish than the movies, though.
Yeah, no, absolutely, especially the New Jedi Order. Mm-hmm. It's all about basically Han and Leia's children and a bunch of really exciting stuff.
Well, Amanda, it sounds like you're going to have a great summer.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, thanks very much for the phone call.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
We're talking about your other stack of books today, not the leather-lined ones that you display proudly in your living room, but the ones you stack next to your bed or bring with you to the beach. 800-989-8255, TOTN@NPR.org. I'm Neil Conan. We'll be back after a short break with more It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.